It's time for Big Blue Kickoff Live. Only on Giants.com.
Smith back to throw. Pass time over the middle. Intercepted by Roll again. Antrell to the 20. Needs a block. Pinball down to the 5. Roll call time. Antrell with back-to-back picks.
Manning back to throw. Steps up. Deep ball down the middle of the field.
He's got Cruz. 35, 30, 20, 10, 5. Touchdown, Giants.
Romo drops straight back to throw. Steps up. Gets hit by Canty.
Pass intercepted by Jason Pierre-Paul. To the 10, to the 5. Touchdown, Giants.
There goes Wilson again. Trying to break to the outside. Wilson cuts it back to his right. Needs a block, and Wilson's going to go. He's to the 10, 5. Touchdown, Giants. 97 yards.
Now here are your hosts, Anita Marks and Lance Meadow.
And welcome to Thursday's edition of Big Blue Kickoff Live here on Giants.com. So glad you could join us. Hashtag Giants chat on Twitter. 201-939-4513 is the telephone number. 201-939-4513. She's Anita Marks. I'm Lance Meadow. So glad you could join us as we're getting you set for the Giants and the Bears on Thursday Night Football. A very quick turnaround for the Giants. They are looking to get that elusive first victory as they are off to an 0-5 start. Yes, elusive.
I like it.
Chicago, a very opportunistic defense that they're going to be going up against, Anita. This is a team that has scored 55 points off of their takeaways this season. It's a defense that relies heavily on the turnovers. Ball protection, ball security, probably going to be the key in terms of the offense's approach to a game like this.
Yeah, and going up against a Giants team that all they really do is turn the ball over. You've got Eli Manning with 12 interceptions. We heard Tom Coughlin earlier this week talk about Eli, and he feels that he's just forcing it. He's taken this team, the fact that they're losing, and he's put it all on his shoulders, and he's just not playing Manning football right now. So how does that turn around? How do they limit the turnovers? That's really going to be the big question mark. I mean, you still have some big concerns on the offensive line. And then to make matters worse, we know that David Wilson didn't even make the trip, is inactive, is not going to play this week against the Chicago Bears. And that's one thing. I mean, Lance, I know this is the first time we've hosted the show this season. I'm typically on with Paul, and we talk about this all the time. No disrespect to the Manning family, but both Peyton and Eli, not the most athletic quarterbacks in the NFL. There's a certain formula that needs to be established for both of them to have success. The most important thing is an offensive line, to give both these guys at least 3 seconds to get their drop steps, to make their reads, and to complete their passes. If the offensive line is not up to par, phase two is a running attack, a rushing attack that's going to make defenses play honest against these guys. And Eli doesn't have either. So and again, this is a phrase I'm probably going to use throughout the day. No disrespect to Brandon Jacobs, but I still haven't seen that Brandon Jacobs, you know, freight train running back yet this season. I mean, maybe we see it tonight. I don't know, but I have some really big concerns.
Well, part of that, Anita, is the offensive line. At this point, it doesn't matter what running back you put behind this group. You could have an all-pro running back. You could have a Hall of Famer. You could have Walter Payton. You name it, Barry Sanders. Throw any name you want out on the list. They're not winning the battle at the line of scrimmage. I think they made strides in the last game against the Eagles in terms of pass protection. Eli Manning was only sacked once, but there hasn't been a semblance of a running game. We're talking about 5 straight contests where this team has failed to reach 100 total yards, not just for one sole running back, as a team. The last time that happened, you have to go back to 1950. That just goes to show you how consistent the Giants have had their offensive line play and how consistent, at least for the most part, their running game has been. They have not had to dealt with this in over 50 years. This is uncharted territory, especially for Eli Manning. When you don't have balance, you're going to wind up putting the ball through the air 45 to 50 times, Anita. And as a result, it's no surprise, the turnovers are going to start to pile up. And that's exactly the script that the Giants have followed this season.
Yeah, and the big shame of it really is, and in going into the season, there was so much excitement because there is so much talent right now around Eli Manning in regard to skilled position players. With Hakeem Nicks, I mean, we've just, like, haven't even tapped into what I think Hakeem Nicks can bring to the table this season. This is, keep in mind, this is a contract year for Hakeem Nicks. this is a year that, you know, he wanted to take it easy through OTAs. He wanted to take it easy through training camp to really come on strong during the season. Eli hasn't even been able to get the ball to him. And then Victor Cruz, you saw what Brandon Myers was able to do in Oakland. There's no reason he can't do that here, but he's needed to stay home and block because the offensive line isn't fitting the bill. You know, Reuben Randle, we got a little taste of what he could bring to the table, and we haven't even seen. I mean, there's a reason why they brought Lewis Murphy here. Lewis Murphy is arguably one of the fastest receivers on this team. He hasn't really been able to stay healthy. He turned his ankle last week at practice. From what I understand, last week was supposed to be a big game for him. It was the game that I think Gilbride really wanted to get him in the mix and scheme a few plays for him. Unfortunately, he turned his ankle at practice, and it ended up being Reuben Randle's day. So that's what's really, for me, it's so disappointing, is because the amount of talent of skilled position players on the offensive side of the ball is enormous. But Eli can't get the ball to him. It's just so frustrating.
When you look at this team on paper, as you just laid out, Anita, there's a lot of talent around him. And you felt that this offense would have clicked from day one. Unfortunately, it starts and ends with the offensive line. And when you don't have consistency from that group, you can't flourish in the passing game. Because Eli Manning has seen defenders even when he drops back one or two steps. So, therefore, you can't get to Lewis Murphy down the field if you were to scheme for him. Hakeem Nicks and Eli Manning have been off the mark at times. Part of that has been the miscues, the communication issues. And Reuben Randle, you mentioned, Anita, it was a tale of two halves in this last game. He had the two touchdowns in the second half, but the first half, how many times did Eli Manning actually have an opportunity to get to him down the field? And it either went right through his hands or dropped the wrong route. So clearly, these receivers still need to work out the kinks again on the same page with Eli Manning. And this is not the type of game that you want to make mistakes. As we mentioned off the top, the Bears are an opportunistic group. When you look at their corners, Tim Jennings, Charles Tillman, who is battling the knee injury right now, he's a question mark, but I'm assuming he's going to try to gut it out and play. They are very aggressive in terms of being ball hawks. And even if you beat them and you manage to make the catch, you better protect the football because they'll clearly knock it out of their hands easily. They've been very good at that over the course of the last few seasons. Even though they changed coaches from Lovie Smith to Mark Trestman, it seems as if the defense has picked up where it left off. And if you can't get a running game going, you're not going to keep that Bears defense honest. And this is the type of game you need to keep the Bears defense honest, or else you're going to play right into their hands.
Yeah, and keep in mind, you know, there's only a few top-notch corners in the NFL, and the Bears have one in Tillman. Paul and I were discussing this yesterday. What do you think their game plan is going to be? Is Tillman going to try to just take Hakeem Nicks out of the game? That very well could be it. You know what you get with Victor Cruz, and I wonder if based on what we saw from Reuben Randle last week against the Philadelphia Eagles, if he's gonna try to build on that and be, I guess, more of a target on the offensive side of the ball. This is another topic that Paul and I discuss frequently, and that is, you know, at what point in time, Lance, do you change your offensive scheme and your offensive game plan because the components, the players that you have implemented into your scheme, it's not working? So at what point in time do you say, okay, the offense that Kevin Gilbride and Eli Manning have been running and working with for the past few years and has had much success, I mean, look, they recently just won a Super Bowl. That's not working. So what do we do for the fact that the offensive line is not getting Eli Manning a lot of time? What do we do now that we don't have that home run threat, David Wilson, in the backfield, that we're working with a Brandon Jacobs and a Darrell Scott, and who knows if we see Michael Cox tonight? How do I get these guys the ball in certain situations, knowing that this defense is not giving Eli Manning even 2 seconds, you know, and I'm intrigued to see if the scheme, if the offensive scheme, the offensive game plan is going to change tonight because of that.
Well, they've made an effort to change things up, Anita, in the last few games by trying to dump off some passes to the running backs. The problem is the level of execution is not where it should be. How many times have we seen a running back anticipate a pass? It goes off of Brandon Jacobs' chest. It goes through the fingertips of Darrell Scott. And more often than not, that has led to turnovers. So, you know, it's easy to say, okay, let's switch things up. Let's change it up. And they have made an effort to do that. But if your players are not in the right spots and they're not executing, it really doesn't matter if you come up with the most creative scheme ever. A lot of callers that we've fielded over the last few weeks, and I'm sure you and Paul have as well, have been calling for the Giants to go no huddle 90% of the time. And Eli Manning had addressed this the other week and said, that's fine, and we're capable of doing that, and we have shown greater success when we've gone no huddle, but your offense then all of a sudden becomes more and more predictable to the defense. So that's why they have shied away from using that, let's say, for all four quarters. They pick and choose where they think it works most effectively. It tends to be effective towards the latter stages of a half when their backs are against the wall, they only have 2 minutes on the clock, and they want to at least get in scoring position. But I wouldn't necessarily be in favor of them adopting that long term throughout the course of all four quarters.
Also, a lot of times when that 2 minute drill, when it does have success, it's because defense is going to prevent defense, and they give the running backs that 5-10 yard space, and they give that middle of the field. So, you know, the philosophy there is, well, why would you do that? Why, if a 2 minute offense is having success against a defense that's playing prevent D, why go and prevent D? It's an interesting topic. It's an interesting dynamic. But I'm with you. I mean, you can't come out and just play that 2 minute style offense the entire game. Defenses will adjust to that. The reason that you do see them have a lot of success is because you're right. It's towards the end of the game. They're down. And defenses are protecting their end zone, not so much short intermittent passes.
From an offensive game plan in terms of their attack mode on the Bears, Anita, I would say there are two things that, at least on paper, work in the Giants' favor tonight. And I'm shying away from that because when you look at the Panthers game and you look at the Chiefs game, there were some attractive matchups for the Giants. Unfortunately, it didn't pan out that way. But there are two weaknesses when you look at this Bears defense. We mentioned an opportunistic secondary. They have lost both starting defensive tackles. Henry Melton, who received the franchise tag, this was supposed to be a big year for him, tore his ACL. Also, they just lost Nate Collins, who also tore his ACL. So the interior of this defensive line is not nearly as strong as it was heading into the season. That, to me, would play in favor of maybe the Giants getting their running game going. The other thing that the Bears don't do effectively, Anita, is actually get to the quarterback. They have not piled up a lot of sacks this season. They only have 7 compared to the Giants, who have 5. Clearly, that's at the bottom of the barrel. So perhaps this is a game where the Giants' offensive line can have a great deal of success. 201-939-4513 is the telephone number. You're smiling and smirking.
Because, I mean, just the way that you say it, you make me want to believe it, and I do want to believe it. I just, because there's so many injuries to this offensive line, I just, you haven't been able to see it. Is this a game that they turn it around and they create? Because let me tell you something. You know, we know the style of runner that Brandon Jacobs is. I think we're going to get a heavy dose of Brandon Jacobs tonight. Yes, I think they're going to sprinkle in Darrell Scott. They're worried about Darrell Scott being able to hold on to the ball. And when we talked about winning the turnover battle today and that being a real important key to winning this game against the Bears. And they're worried about the fumbling issues with Darrell Scott. So I do believe we're going to get a very heavy dose of Brandon Jacobs tonight. But Brandon Jacobs doesn't have a lot of wiggle. He's not going to make guys miss. In order for Brandon Jacobs to have success tonight, he's gonna have to see holes in that offensive line. But we haven't seen holes in that offensive line all season, Lance. So, you know, I want to be optimistic and say that at the end of the game, you know, Brandon Jacobs, he'll average anywhere between maybe 3 to 5 yards per carry. But I think we're being unrealistic. I'll be surprised if he averages more than 2 yards per carry because the offensive line is just not creating holes.
They have yet to get that 100 total yardage game on the ground. 5 straight contests without that. They haven't done that since 1950. It's been a very long battle to establish the run at the line of scrimmage. 201-939-4513 is the telephone number. 201-939-4513. You can also chime in on the conversation on Twitter, hashtag Giants Chat. And we are now joined by Eric Kennedy, the owner of Big Blue Interactive, one of the best Giants fan sites out there. Eric will join us each and every Thursday to give us a good sense of how the fans are feeling about the upcoming matchup each week. Eric, Lance Meadow, Anita Marks here on Big Blue Kickoff Live. Thanks for the time. How's everything?
Hi, Lance. Hi, Anita.
Doing very well, Eric. And let's just get to the general sense from what you're hearing from the fans, 0-5 start. It hasn't been pretty each and every week. It seems to get rougher and rougher. But with this quick, short turnaround, what are the fans saying about the Giants' chances tonight?
Well, most of the fan base is really depressed right now, as you can imagine. They're not really terribly optimistic, and there's little reason to be so. Paul and Anita and I had talked last week about, what was the fan support going to be like at the Giants game, and I thought the fans came out pretty vocal, and the Giants obviously started off very well in that game, getting a 3-and-out and then marching right down the field and getting a quick touchdown. And after that, things started to turn against the Giants, and they had some momentum going, and they just keep shooting themselves in the foot, be it on defense. You saw the 3rd-and-20 that Michael Vick rushed for a first down, and I think that took some wind out of their sails, which could have been a 4th-and-4. And then the offense is moving down the field right away again, and then they shoot themselves in the foot with the intentional grounding penalty where Eli was tripping over himself, and then there was a false start. And so they were down in scoring position again, and all of a sudden it's 2nd-and-25. And it's, if they can just stop shooting themselves in the foot, the fans were getting into it, the crowd was into it, but I think that there's a sense, and I think it's with the fans now and with the Giants, that they almost expect something to go wrong, so there's not a lot of optimism, I think, heading into this game.
So let me ask you this, in regard to your message boards and whatnot, are the fans starting to talk about the future? Is there talk about draft picks? Are there talk about what they'd like to see change on this team?
Yeah,
what areas are they most concerned about? Where would they like to see this organization go out and address in regard to free agency or the draft?
Yeah, that's most of the discussion right now. Unfortunately, we're here in early to mid-October, and everyone's talking about the draft and free agency right now. There's a sense of some fans don't want to see more roster moves at this point in terms of trading away draft picks, like when they acquired John Beeson. That was a huge debate this week. Some people are saying, why are we trading away picks for, even if they're low-round picks, for older, injured veterans at this point? And then there's, the discussion is what you're talking about, Anita. Where do we focus? And obviously the offensive line people are looking at. But there's also a big debate or a big discussion in terms of, there are some long-time Giants that have been on this roster that were responsible for one or two Super Bowl victories, a Justin Tuck, a Corey Webster, guys like that, Chris Snead, that have been around a long time. But they're taking up a lot of cap space. They seem to be injured, or they're not as productive as they used to be. And, there's a discussion, say, hey, maybe it's time that they have to part ways with these guys. So there's a lot of discussion in terms of salary cap allocation, where to look at in terms of building through the draft. And, it seems like to be one bad piece of information after another. The David Wilson injury this week with the neck injury, now there's a report in the New York Post that this could be season-ending. So some people are thinking, geez, now we have to deal with running back at some point in the future. So I think there's a lot of negativity in terms of some people are saying, oh, my God, we have to rebuild everybody. We have to rebuild the entire team. Some people are saying it's even time to get rid of Eli Manning. So that's a big debate, too. Most people are still in Eli's corner, but some people are saying he's up there. He's too inconsistent. We're going to have a really high draft pick. Maybe it's time to look at some of the quarterbacks that are going to be available in this draft. So those are the types of debates that are going on right now in discussions, exactly what you're talking about, Anita. Offensive line, do we have to look at the defensive line? The linebackers are always there, obviously. They've got some age concerns in the secondary. So some people think it's got to be completely blown up. Other people think it's just a few tweakings here or there, and they point to other teams that had bad seasons but quickly turn it around the following year, given the way that free agency and the draft is set up now.
Again, Eric Kennedy, owner of Big Blue Interactive, joining us. I'm also curious. There's some talk right now that let's look at the schedule really quick. The anticipation of them losing against the Bears this week, Obviously, the Bears are favored at home. Minnesota, again, Paul and I don't know sure if you tuned into the show yesterday. Paul and I discussed this. Listen, I don't think the Minnesota Vikings are paying Josh Freeman $3 million a year to collect splinters in his behind. I do believe Josh Freeman will be starting against the Giants Monday Night Football here. Now, that gives me a concern in regard to them beating the Minnesota Vikings. Then they have to get on the road and play the Philadelphia Eagles. At that point in time, and when is the trade deadline, by the way? Do you know that date?
It's October 29th.
Okay, October 29th. So let's say, hypothetically speaking, they lose the next three games. There is a good possibility before that trade deadline that teams are going to call for the services of Hakeem Nicks, possibly Justin Tuck, teams that are kind of on that cusp looking to try to add a wide receiver. For example, I know the Atlanta Falcons aren't doing well right now, but I think they still feel that they could turn their season around with a good wide receiver in Hakeem Nicks. How do you feel fans would react if, in fact, a guy like Hakeem Nicks or Justin Tuck were traded? What do you think the fan reaction would be, Eric?
Well, right now, Hakeem Nicks is sort of took a big knock because of the Eagles game. People are really down on him, both for, you know, sort of the shenanigans he was doing in training camp by skipping in the offseason, skipping a lot of the offseason workouts. And we all expected that was, you know, mostly contract related, and he didn't want to get hurt again. And then late in the Eagles game, you know, he had a great game, but fans saw how he contributed to that last interception, and he seemed to be jogging back to the puddle, and he didn't really run that slant route the way he did. And the fans have right now, it seems to be overwhelmingly, is that you know, right or wrong, he's looking out for himself at this point, and he's looking out for that next contract. So some fans think that he doesn't really want to be here, so they're thinking we better get something for him before he hits free agency and leaves next year. Well, there are other fans who are saying, look, he's an important part of this. I think if he were traded and they got something of value for him, I think fans would understand that for the most part. I think most people would like to see him stay if his head's in the game and he wants to be here and it's a reasonable contract. But that's been a very, very hot subject on the website this week in terms of, you know, isn't this the time to start looking at trading Hakeem? And, there, you know, like you're thinking, what are the teams that might be interested? There's even been speculation. Maybe this is a guy that Patriots or even the 49ers might look at. They'll put them over the top. And other names have been mentioned, like you said. Maybe somebody might be looking for some veteran leadership like a Justin Tuck out there. Those others are saying, how much does he have left in the tank? Is anyone want to take on his contract and that type of thing? But, yes, that's been a really hot subject, and there's been a lot of discussion on that matter.
Talking with Eric Kennedy, the owner of Big Blue Interactive. Eric, before we let you go, you had mentioned that some of the chatter on BigBlueInteractive.com has been about Eli Manning and whether or not the Giants should actually part ways with him. I'm curious, what is the rationale behind some of the arguments that haven't been supportive of Eli Manning? Because when you look at this season as a whole, part of it is on his decision-making, I would say, their 0-5 start and all the turnovers. But the other part that Giants fans need to take into consideration is, unlike other seasons, he hasn't had a consistent offensive line in front of him. So the opportunities to really survey the field and get an opportunity to throw down the field is limited, given that pass protection hasn't been great.
Yeah, I think you have to understand that any time there's a bad season or a series of bad games, the two guys that are always going to get the most blame are the head coach and the quarterback. And either if it's fair or unfair, right or wrong, they're always going. So there are people out there. I remember this with the old Phil Sims and Jeff Hostetler debates going back. There are going to be fans out there that just don't like the quarterback, or they like the quarterback. And if they don't like the quarterback, they're just waiting for something bad to happen to say, see, I told you so. He's the problem. And those guys are coming out of the woodwork right now. So if you've got an agenda against the quarterback, if you don't like Eli, you're just looking for stuff. To be fair, what you're saying is absolutely correct, but Eli's also seems to be pressing. You even heard Tom Coughlin come after the game last week, and he was saying he can't make these mistakes. He can't make these decisions that put us in this hole. So he seems to be pressing a little bit. So those who are making that argument, and I'm not one of those guys that say we need to trade Eli, but the guys that are making that argument are saying he had the great 2011 season. If it wasn't for him, they don't even get to the Super Bowl. But since that time, he's been too up and down. if there is a great quarterback, do we do something similar, even though there still is a bit of an age difference, do we do something similar to what the Colts did and they get Andrew Luck and they part ways with Peyton Manning, that type of thing? So to answer your question, I think there are those that are looking for reasons to blame Eli, but there's also a belief that Eli, you know, to be fair, is also part of the problem right now. He's turning the ball over. He seems to be pressing a little bit. I thought the astounding statistic that came out this week was Kevin Gilbride mentioning that, I think he said 35 of the 61 third downs the Giants have had this year are third and 11 or longer. I mean, that's just astounding, and that tells you how much pressure Eli has been under, because when you're in third and 10 or third 11 and longer, it's the probability of continuing drives is not good. So I thought that just was an astounding statistic.
That has been a number that's really jumped out, and that's a big reason why the Giants have struggled so much. Eric, really appreciate the time and the insights. Thanks so much.
All right, thank you, guys. Bye-bye.
Eric Kennedy, the owner of Big Blue Interactive, joining us, and we are now going to open up the lines to our fans. 201-939-4513 is the telephone number, 201-939-4513. Hashtag Giants Chat on Twitter. You can also follow and interact with us at Lance Meadow, one word, last name M-E-D-O-W, at Anita Marks as well. Let's start with the phones, and we go to D in Atlanta. D, what's happening?
Hey, good morning, y'all.
How we doing, D? What you got?
All right, I'm embarrassed to be a Giant fan after listening to that. I mean, Eli Manning, what, we just use him up for 10 years and then ship him aside? He's been like this ever since his rookie year. We know he's streaky. He's brought us two Super Bowls. I mean, if we go on 16, let's just give him a break, man. I mean, he's brought joy to my life, I ain't going to lie. So, I mean, I can't believe we're sitting here bashing him like this. The guy just having a bad year. It is what it is. But
really quick, we're not bashing him. Eric Kennedy is owner of Big Blue Interactive. So typically what we do is we bring him on Thursdays just to kind of get a feel of what the fans out there are saying. I mean, by no stretch of the imagination, listen, I know what time it is. It's so difficult for a quarterback. And I don't think people realize if Peyton Manning was in this system, He'd probably have one of the most horrendous years of his career. I mean, it's literally impossible for a quarterback, any quarterback in the NFL, Drew Brees, Aaron Rodgers, to have any success playing in what Eli Manning is in right now. So this isn't, understand that Lance and I are not bashing Eli Manning. Fans need to understand, you know, what he's dealing with and what he's not working with.
Okay, I understand. Just one more thing I wanted to say. Would y'all agree that the year the Patriots went undefeated and we beat them in the Super Bowl, would that be the Giants' best year of history?
Well, given the accomplishment, I would say that you have to put that up there. I mean, what are we comparing it to, though, D?
Okay, I'm about to compare it right now. Just say, work with me. If we start at 0-5, if we end up going to the Super Bowl, you know, and winning it, would this season be better than that season?
Well, that hypothetical would obviously be one of the best turnarounds in NFL history, and D, appreciate the phone call, because no team has ever recovered from an 0-5 start and managed to make the playoffs. So in the event that does happen, then I think we can revisit this conversation. But right now, I think the goal for the Giants is get that first victory and continue to build off of that before they start having hopes of grandeur at this point. 201-939-4513 is the telephone number, 201-939-4513. And just piggybacking off of Anita's comments regarding this whole Eli Manning debate, and we fielded tons of phone calls, John Schmelk and I, on Monday and Tuesday about some fans saying that Eli Manning is the biggest problem. There's a lot of factors that clearly have contributed to the Giants' struggles, and we were just weighing in with Eric Kennedy about what the fans are talking about on his website. And what you have to understand is when teams struggle, some fans want to put the GM hat on and they want to look for the quick fix. Is there another quarterback out there that could come in right now and solve the Giants' issues? Absolutely not. Is there another quarterback on this roster that could solve the Giants' issues? Absolutely not. Curtis Painter and Ryan Nassib would have just as many issues as Eli Manning would if the Giants even toyed with the idea of changing quarterbacks. Eli Manning is a big reason why the Giants have had a great deal of success over the last few years, and he's going to be a big reason why the Giants are going to have success in the future. Eli Manning, 15, 16 teams in a heartbeat would take him over the current quarterback that they have. 201-939-4513. Let's go back to lines. We got Tyler in Florida. Tyler, what's happening?
Hey, guys, how's it going?
Doing well, Tyler. What you got?
Well, first, I just want to say, you know, obviously this feels bad as a Giants fan right now, but as crazy as it is, we're only two games out of first place, so I think people have to keep that in perspective. But also, I was going to ask you guys, do you think Michael Cox is going to get some time tonight?
Well, Michael Cox has been mainly used on special teams. I think it really depends on how much confidence they have with him in respect to the playbook. They've held him back because he has not fully grasped the playbook. That's why they've turned to Brandon Jacobs and Darrell Scott. And I think the sign that they brought Darrell Scott back, Tyler, means that I don't know if we're going to see a lot of Michael Cox as a running back. If they didn't bring Darrell Scott back, that would have been a signal that Michael Cox is ready to get X amount of carries. The fact that they brought Scott back, that to me means that Jacobs and him are probably going to carry the bulk of the load today.
You're right. Okay.
All right, Tyler. Thanks so much for the phone call.
Thanks, guys.
You got it. Hashtag Giants chat. You can continue to weigh in on Twitter on that topic as well.
And keep in mind, I mean, head coach Tom Coughlin, he's not a big fan of playing rookies. You saw it last year with David Wilson. And let's face it, with this team, the Giants being 0-5, and we heard Eli Manning address the media earlier in the week, Lance. He said, because it's the NFC least right now, believe it or not, the Giants still have an opportunity here. Let's say, hypothetically speaking, Dallas plays
Washington. Sunday night.
Okay, Washington's coming off of a bye. You know, you never know. They could very well have concentrated on improving their defense. You got to look at it. This is the fifth game for RG3. So I'm actually looking at this as his first regular season game because he missed all preseason. So there's a chance the Washington Redskins could beat the Dallas Cowboys. I don't think it's going to happen, but there's a chance. Obviously, Giants fans, they want to root for the Washington Redskins. And then you've got the Philadelphia Eagles going up against the Tampa Bay Bucks. And that's with Nick Foles. Michael Vick has been ruled out of the game. So Giants fans, again, want to root for the Tampa Bay Bucks. And they have Mike Glennon there, who the Philadelphia Eagles defense is horrible. So who knows? Maybe he's what they need to light a spark with the Bucks. There's a chance the Bucks could beat the Philadelphia Eagles. And if the Giants do win tonight, they're still in it. And with that being said, I just don't think you can risk playing a rookie in Cox. I just don't think head coach Tom Coughlin feels that it's too much of a risk. This game is too important right now to potentially lose because of turnovers, and he just doesn't trust rookies.
Well, I mean, I would even put the playoff implications aside. At this point, you just want to get a win, Anita. That's why it takes on such a great importance. And that's why you want to stick with your regulars, because you want them to gain some momentum, gain some confidence. Sometimes all it takes is one win, one bright spot to put the key in the ignition, and then a team to leapfrog and start getting better and better each week. They've got nothing that they can turn to at this point because it's been a very up and down, shaky performance. All three facets of this team have had their fair share of issues. So that's another reason why I think they're not necessarily going to give the reins to a Michael Cox. They feel that Brandon Jacobs knows the playbook, has command of the playbook, and Darrell Scott does as well. And that's why they brought him back on a very quick, short turnaround. Let's go back to the lines. We've got Steve in D.C. Steve, what's happening?
Hey, what's happening, guys? Listen, I'm going to try to be brief, and now I'm listening off air because I got a few things I wanted to say. First of all, I do agree with Eric Kennedy as far as assessment of what the fans are thinking. I'm definitely not one of those fans that think we need to get rid of Eli, but we certainly need to be looking in the draft for his replacement at some point, in my opinion. And I would just like to say this about Hakeem Nicks. I don't want to see the guy go, but I think part of the fans' fear is because of his attitude during the offseason, we're afraid he's going to be asking for, you know, too much money. So I think we probably should end up trading him, you know, when we get the right opportunity. I think, you know, with Victor Cruz having a great year and getting the money he has, I think Hakeem pretty much knows he's not going to get that kind of money. So he kind of has his mind on being somewhere else. That's just my opinion. Before I forget, I want to wish one of my favorite players a happy birthday. That's Linville Joseph. So if y'all see him, tell him Steve from D.C. said happy birthday.
We'll do.
And real quick, guys, I know you guys are saying we don't like to play rookies. Well, you know what? We need to play rookies. We should definitely be playing Cox. I mean, I've heard all the families, you know, the company pitch line, he doesn't know the plays or he can't block. Listen. He's running the ball. He can't be that much worse of a blocker than Wilson, he should definitely be returning kicks. How much coaching do you really need? Darrell Scott has given up the ball on too many occasions to sit here and use that as an excuse not to play Cox. And that's going to be my last question before I want to say this. I'm hoping we see decent, but, you know, one of the things that concerns me, guys, is our running backs start so far in the backfield. I think they're about 7 yards back. And to me, that's ridiculous. That's part of the problem. But the biggest problem is what we already know is the offensive line. So before I shut up, I just wanted to ask you guys this. Do you think it's that we kind of have the unwritten philosophy in Tom Coughlin's mind? This is where I see it. We don't seem to play who we don't pay, and that bothers me. And, I mean, yeah, it's usually a rookie or somebody like that, but it seems like it's almost like a strategy, like we don't want people to see our best stars, so we just try to hold them. By the time we get them for a good year, we can't sign them again. So I just wanted to kind of get you guys' take on that, because to me and a lot of other fans, it's inexcusable not to play Cox. He's running harder than Brandon Jacobs and Darrell Scott. We need to play that kid. You know, I don't care if it's one or two plays here and there. You know, I mean, tell him to play, let him go in and run the ball. But returning kicks, definitely better than Jernigan. So, great show as usual, guys. Thanks for letting me get that off my chest. And I think we can improve on them 3rd-and-11s if we run the ball more, you know, on 1st and 2nd down, as opposed to keep throwing the ball and give our defense some time to rest. Great show. I'll listen out there.
All right,
you guys have a good one. Let's go, Big Blue.
All right. Thanks so much for the phone call. And listen, I understand the argument that you want to see Michael Cox, you want to see some new blood in the mix. Perhaps it could give a spark, but it will only go as far as Steve alluded to. Maybe a play or two if they're going to throw him in there. He's not capable of taking 10 carries or carrying the bulk of the load. You want to move him into special teams? You know, perhaps that's something that they can get involved in as well. But here's another thing. Demontre Moore, see, they moved him along slowly. But Anita, Demontre Moore still picks up penalties. So as good as he is in terms of the flashes he provides, there's still the mental lapses that youngsters have. And like you mentioned, if they're in a position where they can win a game, the coaching staff is not going to put it in the hands of a youngster who still is learning the pace of the game. Sometimes you get that first opportunity and your emotions are so overwhelmed that you can't even concentrate once you get to the fourth quarter. So they need to weigh some of the mental issues that some of these players are dealing with before they give them the full rein of the playbook and the full rein of an opportunity in the offense. So that's, I think, part of the reason why they've also held back Michael Cox.
Well, I think the caller did hit on something when he said, you know, we play the payers that we pay. That's not just here, that's everywhere. That's called politics in professional sports. It's unfortunate, but that's the way general managers, that's the way teams operate. That's why I said, listen, if the Minnesota Vikings are paying Josh Freeman $3 million, you think he's coming in to compete? Really?
Well, I'll be honest with you. Taking it back to the Giants' perspective, I know you love this Vikings quarterback situation. We don't know how that's necessarily going to play out because
we have
Matt Cassel still in the mix, who did look good against the Steelers.
We don't know, but I don't see an organization spending $3 million to bring in a guy who very well could be a third-string quarterback. And I'm sorry, Matt Cassel does not fit the bill. Matt Cassel, at best, is a backup quarterback in the NFL. Christian Ponder, sorry, Sam, love you, girl, but your husband is not a starting quarterback in the NFL. He is a backup at best. I dig Josh Freeman. I think his situation in Tampa Bay stunk. Stunk so bad. I know we're from New York, but Schiano is just not a great head coach in the NFL. His swagger and his mojo works in college, does not work in the NFL. These guys do not want to play for Greg. Sorry about it. He was miserable there. Minnesota, new life, new experience, new coach, new offensive coordinator, and a ton of talent around him. Keep in mind, Minnesota Vikings, they spent 4 draft picks to move up to get Patterson. Okay? This kid is spectacular. They haven't been able to get in the ball. Josh Freeman can do that. Josh Freeman can create time and get that youngster the ball. Greg Jennings is just waiting. He's dying to, you know, put up some yards and score some touchdowns. And then you have arguably the best running back in the NFL. Be careful of Minnesota. Minnesota, when this schedule came out And you know, I'm sure you and John did the same thing. All right, let's look at the schedule. Win, lose, win, lose, win, lose. I had an immediate loss next to the Minnesota Vikings. But now the way that the Giants are playing and how they're struggling, and now they go out, they get Josh Freeman to bring another dynamic at the quarterback position for this team. I'm sorry, you have Adrian Peterson. If you put nine in a box, Josh Freeman's going to kill you because he's got legs as well as an arm.
Well, but Freeman has struggled, though, in Tampa Bay, even with a lot of weapons around him, too. So you don't really know how he'll fit into that Minnesota
system. I'm not a big Mike Williams fan, and he's never had a tight end.
Well, he had Vincent Jackson and Doug Martin. Those two are
okay,
not
nobodies. But that's two. I mean, you have Rudolph at the tight end position. You've got Greg Jennings. You've got Patterson. You've got Adrian Peterson. I mean
And Matt Cassel made them all look very good in the last game.
So I guess what I'm saying is I could be so wrong. I just don't see an organization. Again, I'm piggybacking off the caller's phone call, and that is, you know, a lot of times, like, you know, you play the payers you pay, and the Minnesota Vikings just pay. And get this, this is comical. Josh Freeman is already making $6.85 million from the Tampa Bay Bucks, even though they cut him. So Josh Freeman is making like $9 million this year. There's no way this guy, and granted, that's money that the Bucks have to pay him. But still, I just don't think Minnesota is going to dish out $3 million for a guy to come in and carry a clipboard. I don't see it. So he adds another dynamic to the offensive scheme for Minnesota. He's not going to start this week. I really believe he's going to start Monday Night Football against the New York Football Giants. And now I'm really worried that that's another loss.
Well, bringing it back to the point that Steve was touching on, that the Giants specifically play the guys that make the big bucks, I partially disagree with that because
I don't.
Chase Blackburn, for example, was not making mega bucks, and he was a big integral part of the defense. He played every single down.
I understand, but the guys who were making the money, they were the ones who got the first opportunity. They were the ones who got the first chance, the first shot to wear that headset, to be that Mike linebacker. And they couldn't do it. So at some point in time, it's kind of like Jernigan. It's kind of like Barden. You know, this organization went out and drafted those guys.
But those guys did nothing on the field to prove that they deserve playing time.
But they
time.
Have nine lives, Lance. Why are these guys having – why are these guys still on this team? Because the organization went out and drafted and paid them. Do you know what I'm saying? So, you know, there is truth to that. An organization goes out and drafts a player, pays a player, then yes, there is an obligation there. And of course, that general manager, that team wants them to succeed, wants them to do well, and will give them every opportunity to do so. But at some point in time, you've got to go, okay, well, Jernigan's not fitting the bill. Barden's not fitting the bill. Oh, look at this walk-on from Connecticut, Victor Cruz, who, what, huh? I mean, you know, at some point in time, you've got to, like, wave the white flag and say, I know we didn't draft him, but damn, he's 10 times better than Jernigan. So we got to play him.
Well, but Victor Cruz got an immediate opportunity. Once they saw some flashes, they put him in the mix. And he dropped some passes in that opener against the Redskins, if you remember.
Timeout.
He was hurt after that three-touchdown
game.
He was hurt.
Really?
They put him on IR.
Okay. Let's take
a moment. I'm just saying. They put him on IR. He was hurt.
Let's take another call because we're going into
the bottom line is when Victor Cruz proved, Anita, that he was a consistent weapon, he got ample opportunity. He dropped numerous – he did not look good in that Redskins opener. You could go back and look at the numbers. He was not proven yet as a commodity. Once he showed that he could do that every down, then they gave him the green light. So I disagree slightly with
that. I can tell you this. The coaching staff fought for Victor Cruz. Fought for him. But and a big reason why was because he was a walk-in. He was an undrafted free agent. And he was producing. And what the coaches saw were, wow, again, this isn't just the Giants organization. This is professional sports across the board, okay? This is professional sports across the board. The Giants coaching staff fought for Victor Cruz to be here.
I just get it back to the point that even if you draft them, Jernigan and Ramsey's Barden, I would never put them in over Akeem Nicks or Victor Cruz at this point. I mean, you wouldn't make that decision. You got to put your best playmakers in. Even if they're making the best money, they're the most talented guys on the roster. So you don't just say, well, our team's struggling, so we're going to do better if we give our sixth-round pick an opportunity. That doesn't necessarily solve your issues. Akeem Nicks is going to draw a double team. Ramsey's Barden's not. Michael Cox is not going to draw as nearly as much attention as a Brandon Jacobs or a Darrell Scott. You have to look at how the defense approaches these guys, too.
I'll be totally honest with you. I believe that if you put Michael, I think I would play Michael Cox. I think Michael Cox is a better option. What I saw in preseason, what I saw at training camp, I would love to see Michael Cox. And this young man is just such a great, I cannot say enough wonderful things. He gets it. He knows this game. He loves this game. He's itching. He's itching for that opportunity. It's so funny. I was talking to him the other day, and he really thought that he would get some playing time against the Philadelphia Eagles. And I said, just stand behind your running back coach, Gerald Ingram. I was like, just be in his ear. Just be in his ear. Just get me in, coach. Get me in, coach. You know how a lot of times you see players kind of walk behind their position coaches? You see that for a reason, because they want to get in. I was like, just get in his ear. Get in his ear. I'm dying for Cox to get in. I really think this kid can do some amazing things. But there is the risk. He's a rookie. He's new to the NFL. He comes in. Defensive players are going to know that. They're going to go for the ball. They're going to try to create the fumble. And I don't think that head coach Tom Coughlin wants that risk out there. He just doesn't like playing rookies. But I personally think Cox is a better play than Jacobs. But it's not going to happen.
201-939-4513 is the telephone number. Let's head back to the lines. We got Mike in New York. Mike, what's happening?
Hey, guys. That was great. Let's see. With running backs, Darrell Scott comes back. Doesn't necessarily automatically mean he's in. We absolutely have to have three quarterbacks on the roster. They can go down at any time, and they typically do. I think you need to hit the nail on the head with players get paid or picked up, get played more, and get a lot more chances. I mean, Brandon Myers is like, just can't separate, can't do anything right, and yet he's still in there 90% of the time when you need a tight end. Why don't we go to the NBA dregs and get the next Jimmy Graham and Julius Thomas right now? I'm not saying it'll be that easy, but that's where they came from, and there's no way that there's not some guy we can pick up and turn into a weapon. Adrian Robinson, his foot fell off every time the NFL season comes around. I don't know what's up with that. And then the last thing is people ripping on Knicks. I think it's just because of the way it looked on TV to us. Because I was watching the first 10 last night on Giants.com, and you can see on that play, number 96 from the Eagles makes a really nice play and pitches that ball. And it just ricochets off his hand out across the middle of the field where Nick stopped right inside the numbers like he did on the 8 other slants. Eli threw a great ball. It just gets knocked to the side, and he probably just lost it. I mean, it happens.
Well, Knicks did give up on that route, and that was one of the reasons why it led to the interception. So the way that you interpreted the film is 100% correct. And there have been times where they have not appeared to be on the same page this season. Perhaps that's because Hakeem Knicks missed part of OTAs and part of training camp. But, you know, at this point, you would figure that the two should be on the same page because they've had ample opportunity to work out some of the kinks. Unfortunately, it has not panned out that way.
And let me just say this about Brandon Myers. I don't think it's fair that Giants fans sit here and judge Brandon Myers because, he's playing in a system now that he's being required to stay home and help with pass protect, and he's not a pass protect tight end. He is a receiving tight end. He was not brought here. Yes, yeah, you know, I get it. Tight ends are required to chip, obviously help in the rushing attack, but that's not his forte. He was brought here to be a receiving tight end, and he cannot be used as such right now because this offensive line is one of the worst in the NFL. So I'm going to take a step back from being too critical on Brandon Myers right now because this isn't the role. This doesn't highlight his ability, the role that he's in right now.
I mean, I get that, but if you got Eli Manning, you build a team around Eli Manning. So you need to block. You need to keep him upright. You need to block for a runner. Eli can't play if we have no running game, and we have absolutely no running game. He is absolutely the best when he's under 40 passes, and he can work off that play action and get defense on their heels. And the last point I'll make, week 2, I made a prediction somewhere that we will not win a game until we run 90 yards, because we're like 11-2 in games where we run 90 yards. And I don't think we ever lost a game where we ran 100 yards. So if we can just focus on 90 yards for one game, I think we'll win.
All right, Mike, thanks for the phone call. Sometimes that's easier said than done, given the struggles and the issues that the Giants have had on the offensive line. 201-939-4513. Let's go to Sean in South Carolina. Sean, what's happening?
Hello, guys. I want to say that I think that it's realistic that the Giants will get a win within the next couple of games. You can't expect this team to go 0-6 or 0-7. To address Anita about the NFC East, you got to also expect that these other teams are going to start playing better too. I mean, the Redskins are ramping it up. With the Philadelphia Eagles, I think I think they'll get their stuff together, and the Cowboys, I think they'll get their stuff together too. I will also say that I think that you guys need to apologize to the fans, because we kind of sniffed it out early about Eli not playing well. You know, you guys thought we were bashing him, but we weren't. We're just addressing what we saw. The other thing is, I think that the Mara family needs to go and apologize to the Redskins and the Cowboys, because from what I was hearing or read through outlets, that I think the Mara family was instrumental in those two teams getting those sanctions placed on them about the contract year during the CBA or whatever, illegal contracts or whatever. So I think this may be a little karma, but I think we need to go apologize to them. I think it's realistic that this team will get a win within the next couple of games. But, again, like I say, you guys need to apologize to us, because the team will win within the next couple of weeks, or if maybe not even tonight. But again, I said, karma. The Mara family needs to probably apologize to those two teams.
Sean, wait, before I let you go, why do we need to apologize to the fans? I lost you here. What exactly have we not been giving credit? Have we not been talking about Eli Manning's struggles this season? I mean, what do you want us to do at this point? I'm a little lost by that comment.
Well, guys, there was one incident. I was listening to you guys on the online, and there was this guy that was calling, and you cut him off, and the caller next after him reprimanded you guys for just being biased, and saying that that you guys, you let pro Giant people talk forever, and then the guys that are being critical of the team, because we pay for tickets, we pay for paraphernalia and gear and stuff like that, and we want to speak our minds too, but you guys were shutting us off, and you guys, and I know Paul and Anita and everybody was getting so uptight that we've been so critical of Eli. Well, Eli is not, he's playing just like any other quarterback that doesn't have an offensive line and a running game, vis-a-vis or a la Tony Romo. Doesn't have a good offensive line, but he's doing what he can with it, and he's won two games. But, of course, Eli gets passed because he's won two Super Bowls. But still, you still have to call a black cat black and a zebra black and white. Whatever it is, you call it what it is. And you guys were being defensive about the fact that we were being critical of him. And he didn't play well in the preseason. He wasn't playing well.
Let me just say this. I'm not defensive. I've never been defensive. I totally believe fans have the opportunity and the right to have whatever opinion you want to have. All I'm saying is, fans have to look beyond. When a quarterback is performing as poorly as Eli has, you have to look at the total picture. Obviously most fans have not played the position and don't know what it is to not even have 3 seconds to get a pass off. So,
but there are fans that have played the position and they do know,
Well then they're realizing that this all isn't on Eli Manning.
I agree.
So, but granted, hey, you're entitled to your opinion and I don't, it's fine. I dig it and I respect it. you know, and this show is for the fans. This is for you to call in and voice your opinion and voice your concerns, and have a meeting place in the morning that you guys can communicate. So, and we appreciate the audience participation, and we welcome the calls. So no one should get down on you, but I don't think we should apologize for anything. I mean, you know, that's what this is. This is a forum. This is for us to discuss what's happening with the Giants.
But back to the game, the season and how it plays out, I think that it would be best that, you know, start making some type of moves for off season or whatever, because it's darn near impossible to go to the playoffs after losing five games. I mean if it was really, really possible, other teams would have done it already. Because like I said, it's realistic to think that the other teams in this division will improve too. I mean, they're not just sitting on their hands and living off of past, you know, glory. They're trying to improve just as well as the Giants are. So I just think that, you know, a win or two will come here pretty soon. But, you know, that's all I wanted to say. Again, like I said, and I mentioned the karma thing, because I do, you know, it was put out there that the Mara family was instrumental in you know, those two teams getting fined like they did, and it was really an uncontract, you know, a cap, you know, off season, and you know, I don't see how those contracts could have been illegal, but you know, who am I to know? I don't know anything.
All right,
about
Sean.
That,
well, thank you so much for the phone call. Greatly appreciate you weighing in. 201-939-4513 is the telephone number. Let's get back to lines. We got Andrew in Virginia. Andrew, what's happening?
Hey guys, thanks for taking my call, and I appreciate the forum and the opportunity that we have here. I didn't get a chance to call in earlier in the week because the line was busy by the time I got to the phone, but I'm just going to take it forward. I'm not going to be too critical, because if there is ever a game that sets up perfectly for the Giants, it's this game to build some confidence. And let me tell you why I think that is. Yes, they're in Chicago. Yes, they're on the road. But guess what? The Bears' defense is not good this season. They're not good against the run, which we know the Giants want to do. They're soft in the middle of the field, and their defensive backs are extremely shaky right now. So if the Giants wanted to exploit the middle of the field with slants and quicker passes and get the ball out to negate rush, it's this week. Just like we saw them, let's look at Philadelphia's practice. We saw them have that game plan and then take a couple of go routes off that slant fake and go down the field with it. They didn't execute on all of them. We know that. This week, they can do it again, get on the same page, and come home with a win on offense. Defensively, the Bears' tackles are among the worst in the league, okay? We can get that rush off the edge that we've been looking for. If the defensive ends for the Giants want to get back on track, it's this week in Chicago, and nothing would be a better win than to go on the road to Chicago, a storied defensive persona that they take out offensively. The Bears, they get in their face, they get in Cutler's face, they force some interceptions, they force some turnovers, and they get sacks. And they are one in a row. And I think they can do it, but they've got to commit to the right game plan. We saw it last week. I want to continue seeing it. I don't want to live and die by the deep ball. I want to see some running like we saw last week. I want to see some shorter passes like we saw last week. And I want to see the execution get even better. And I think they can do it. Thanks for taking my call.
You got it, Andrew. Appreciate the phone call. Andrew's right about the Bears' defense. They have some holes. They have some issues. However, the Giants do the one thing that the Bears' defense does well, and that's force turnovers. The Giants have committed 20 turnovers, and the Bears are very opportunistic. So they can maybe thrive up and down the field. They got to protect the football, though. That's priority number one. Number two, Andrew touched on the tackles in terms of the offensive line being an issue for the Bears. Well, left tackle's not an issue. They got a Pro Bowler in Jermon Bushrod, who they signed from the Saints. He's pretty good. The issue is the right tackle spot. They have a rookie. They also have a rookie at the right guard. So on paper, it would look like it's favorable for the Giants to go after Kyle Long and go after Jordan Mills. However, Giants went up against Eric Fisher a few weeks ago, the rookie with the Chiefs, and he was knocked out of the game via concussion. They weren't able to capitalize on that. So we can look at this on paper. It looks real attractive for the Giants. Sometimes, unfortunately, it has not panned out that way.
All right. I'm going to tell you what my biggest concern is for tonight, and then I want you to tell me what your biggest concern is for tonight in regard to the game. Okay? Could be on either side of the ball. My biggest concern is this Giants team stopping Matt Forte. That's my biggest concern going into this game. And, yes, the Giants went out and they really concentrated on the defensive tackle position. They brought in some free agents. They drafted some players. And if you look at – and Paul Dottino is so good at this in regard to the success teams have in regard to where they run and what hole they run through. The defensive tackles have been great. But Matt Forte is utilized in this game more so for the Bears as a passing threat out of the backfield. I have some big concerns about Matt Forte. I think the key to this game is stopping Matt Forte. Can the Giants do that? I just don't know. And so for me, that's the biggest thing I'm going to be watching tonight. What's your biggest mismatch, your biggest concern going into this game?
Well, my biggest concern is just how the wideouts match up with this Giants secondary. They have not gone up against these tall receivers before. Brandon Marshall, 6'4", Alshon Jeffery, 6'3", Martellus Bennett's a giant. You know, this is going to be a very tough
Martellus
test.
Bennett is a game-time decision, by the way, just FYI. He's been dealing with some health issues.
You would assume he is going to do everything in his power to suit up, whether or not he's got gets his leg cut off.
I think the black unicorn is going to play.
Correct. And he was talking about this with the reporters on the conference call, that he doesn't really look ahead at the schedule. Trust me. Martellus Bennett circled this date on the calendar. I find that very hard to believe, that a guy who spent one season here and probably wanted to stay, but unfortunately didn't work out.
I mean, Giants fans, please know that Martellus Bennett did want to stay here. He just got a more lucrative deal from the Chicago Bears than the Giants. And I don't think it's that the Giants didn't want to offer him that deal. It's just salary cap.
Couldn't afford it.
Yeah, salary cap was the Giants were pretty high up there. And as you know, players are still working out their deals. Chris Snee just redid his deal to give the Giants a little bit more cap space. So unfortunately, that just couldn't pan out.
Let's try to run through these remaining callers before we wrap up the show. Let's go to Sash in Washington. Sash, what's happening?
Hey, what's up, man? It's Stosh.
Oh, Stosh. I'm sorry. What you got, Stosh?
No problem. Hey, so I'm going to say something real quick, and just give me a second to explain it, because I know I'm going to probably piss off Anita with this comment.
All right, what you got?
I feel that at the end of the season, we should trade Jason Pierre-Paul for additional draft picks, and I'm going to tell you why. I love the guy. I think he has every physical attribute necessary to be the greatest defensive end in Giants history. But he's lazy. Bottom line, I look at this guy, I see him on the sideline. I watch the 22 film every game, after every game. And he gets stoned on one block. Not even when he's getting chipped or doubled. He's getting stood up by one person. Now, people are going to say the back surgery, he's coming off of back surgery. I'm 5'8". I weigh 170 pounds and I have less than 9% body fat. And I do that through nutrition. My meals are balanced. Every day I weigh it down, 16 ounces a meal, and I hit the gym. This guy doesn't look like he takes care of his body. He is sloppy. Like, I look at him, he's looking less and less like a defensive end body type to me every year. He looks like there's like in his mind, it looks like he just doesn't take care of what he's putting into his body. And that blows my mind, because this is a professional athlete, but he's too soft around the midsection. That's going to affect your back. Look at Michael Strahan. When Michael Strahan came into the league, and then when he left, his first 3 years, he was at least 10 pounds heavier. He learned that, hey, as you get older, you need to bone up on your nutrition, and you need to make sure your body stays for the position. You don't see that kind of stuff from Jason Pierre-Paul. And I feel like he's had 1 year, and when someone has one great year and they've been in the league 4 years, they're considered what? A bust. But we're just so enamored with his freakish athletic ability that we hold on to him. I think trade him. Get a second and third or a first and third round pick and bolster your offensive line and get some linebackers. But I don't think that guy is what we want him to be. I don't think he's mentally there, though.
Thanks for the phone call. I appreciate it. I really can't comment on what JPP eats. I do know this. I do know that the Giants organization has a nutritionist. She's here. She's excellent. She's here every Thursday. She works with the players. I can't comment on his diet and what he eats.
Well, part of it is also he's still recovering from back surgery. The other thing is I think Stosh may have answered his own question. I understand the ambition in trying to move him and thinking he could get a lot of draft picks, but Stosh, if you're seeing this on film, I'm sure a lot of the other teams are seeing this. So his value is not very high right now. Your smartest game plan is to actually hold on to him, wait till his value improves, and then maybe try to move him. Because I don't think you're getting a first and a second round pick for JPP right now. What team in their right mind would be willing to cough that up, considering he's only had one good season? So that's another thing to take into consideration. Let's head back to the lines. We've got Joan in Maryland. Joan, what's happening?
Hi, good morning, guys. How are you?
Doing well, Joan. What you got?
Hi. I am calling because I was listening to the other callers, and I don't want to sound negative, but I'm pretty concerned because I don't see – I believe if the Giants continue to play some of the players that they're playing now, I don't see them winning a game, and I'll tell you why. First of all, I don't think that Brandon Jacobs is a I don't think that he is a what you call a starting running back in the NFL anymore. And they don't have a running game. Secondly, I don't see them having a special teams. I don't see them getting anything from special teams. And as long as they keep putting, I think it's Reuben Randall and Terrell Jernigan back there, that they're not getting anything out of special teams to, you know, good field position or anything. So I don't see all three facets of the game working right now, at least for the last few games that I've watched. And I don't see them incorporating a tight end in their game. And I heard one of the callers earlier talking about Dallas and Tony Romo. What I have noticed about Dallas is that they have a very high standard on offense. That's why Martellus Bennett did not even get to play in Dallas. I think he was second string behind Jason Witten. And Tony Romo has been allowed to have Jason Witten there with him his whole career. It's been about, what, 7, 8, 9 years now. And Eli Manning has not been allowed to have a tight end with him for his entire career. I think they've switched tight ends every year. And in this game in the NFL now, teams are incorporating tight ends as a big part of the passing game. And the Giants are just still using really small receivers. And I think that's really what's missing. And I think right now I see them incorporating a third receiver like Reuben Randall is supposed to be the Mario Manningham, and I don't see they haven't changed anything up. And I believe if this team goes 0-16, I think the Giants organization is going to have to do something, whether it's with management, I mean with the coaching staff, or maybe trading, you know, some of their picks or quarterback or something, because I don't know who else has value. The rest of the guys are pretty old on defense. I don't think you can get anything for them. And maybe I'll just hang up and hear your comment.
All right, Joan, thank you for the phone call. In terms of the tight end argument, I disagree with you. Yes, they have switched tight ends, but they've done a great job incorporating them in the offense and having a great deal of success. Jeremy Shockey to Jake Ballard to Kevin Boss to Martellus Bennett. You're right, they haven't had consistency. It's been a revolving door, but thanks to Mike Pope and his teachings, he's taken no-name commodities, and he's turned them into productive players. Brandon Myers hasn't necessarily lived up to the billing yet. It's been a small resume. But previously, they've had a very good track record of tight ends, and they have tried to incorporate them into the offense. So I don't think the Giants have been lacking in that department. With respect to them going 0-16 and what management is going to do, it is still way too early to speculate. I know a lot of you out there want to play GM, and you want to say if they do this, they do that. They're 0-5 right now. We're in week 6. Let's see what pans out and what happens over the next few weeks before we all of a sudden think about what they need to do moving forward.
But as you said, we talked about this earlier, the trade deadline October 29th, right?
Correct.
That's what you said. So at that point in time, this team will either be 3-5, 0-8, or somewhere in between. And at that point in time, I think we'll have a really good feel for how this NFC East division is shaping up. And I would not be surprised if this team is pretty much out of contention, that maybe a deal gets done. I mean, this is something that was thrown out there, and it may have been the Daily News, it may have been the Post, I'm not sure, but the thought of, all right, trade Hakeem Nicks to a team that's really looking to try to make a run at a Super Bowl, who's in need of a wide receiver because there's a ton of them that are going down. For example, Julio Jones out for the season. There's reports now that Calvin Johnson is dealing with a very severe knee situation. He did not go last week. Reports are that he's going to be a game-time decision this week. Maybe trade Hakeem Nicks, and then keep in mind, he is a free agent. He could always come back. He can always come back. So it's kind of, you're leasing a player for 1 year who's a free agent and could always come back home. So, I mean, only time will tell. I mean, these next three games are going to be very crucial, Lance. At Chicago, home against the Minnesota Vikings, and then at Philadelphia. The big concern is that all three of these games are winnable, but I wouldn't be surprised if the Giants lose all three games, and that's disconcerting, because this is the first time ever that I've ever like looked at the schedule, and I can't say that there's one game on the schedule, Lance, that I feel absolutely positively certain that the Giants are going to win. I just don't.
Well, that's because the Giants haven't been consistent as a team, so the level of confidence is not very high right now.
Maybe Oakland, November 10th.
Oakland, though, has Terrell Pryor, and they've looked pretty good the last few weeks.
And he's been playing great.
That's no gimme game.
And who knows if Darren McFadden is back at that point in time. He probably will be. But who knows? He comes back, he's going to injure himself again. He's always injured.
It's a very tough schedule.
Yeah.
It goes without saying.
Yeah.
But right now the focus has to be on Chicago. If they can get past Chicago, then they'll start to worry about Minnesota. And if it gets closer to the trade deadline and they feel they get an offer that they can't refuse, I'm sure they'll weigh that. But I get back to the point, I don't know if the big-name commodities on this team have a great deal of value, such as the JPPs and even the Hakeem Nickses, because Hakeem Nicks has had an injury history and at times has not looked like he's been on the same page as Eli Manning. So what you think Hakeem Nicks is worth doesn't mean that the rest of the league weighs him in the same regard. 201-939-4513 is the telephone number. Let's try to squeeze in a caller or two before we wrap things up. We go to Gerson in California. Gerson, what's happening?
Good morning.
How we doing, Gerson?
I listen. Doing good. I listen to the show every morning. Or if not, I don't listen to the archive. And I'm tired of hearing every fan rip you guys. I don't understand why they do, but I actually do. Because as a fan, I think that every game that we play against everybody, every season, I think we're going to win it as a fan. Now, when you look at the actuals and the actual numbers, X's and O's, then it's when it breaks your heart. Most of the time, we don't have to. It's not that easy for us to get the win. Now, this season, it's a team sport. Our breakdowns have come from everywhere. It's not one specific guy. We can't say left tackle has been giving up sacks. That's what we're not performing. It's been, if not the left tackle, the guard, the right, the left, the center, the right, receiver not running the right route, one or the other. But it's always been one person not performing to when we need them to perform and ruin the whole play. And that's been an offense, on defense, same exact thing. It's been an individual mess up at one point or another that gives up a big play, or that causes the game. And on top of that, the offense cannot get in rhythm. And normally how every quarterback performs on the second half is based on what they've seen in the first half. But we haven't even been able to get a chance to see the first half because we go, you know, three and out. So that when the second half comes, Eli does not really have an idea of what they're really doing because they haven't really seen the whole plan that the defense has against us. That's something else that nobody really looks into, but we haven't been able to get in rhythm. And it's been, once again, not just because of Eli, but because of a receiver. Someone always tends to screw up the play, and that's pretty much what's been our demise. Today I'm wearing my Giants cufflinks, my tie, and hopefully we get this win. And I want to say you guys always break our hearts because you guys always tell the truth, and we want to think we're right, but most of the time we're wrong. And that's all I got to say, and I'm tired of hearing everybody else complain about the team.
All right, Gerson, thanks so much for weighing in. Appreciate the kind words of support. And I'm looking at Twitter, and a lot of you crack me up because everybody had their suspicions that Joan from Maryland was actually Ann from D.C. And that was the first thing, as I wrote just now on Twitter, that I mentioned to Dan, who was fielding our calls today. We have a track record with Ann. She uses a lot of different aliases. She uses a lot of different names. And apparently she's now gotten creative in terms of trying to sound like she has a head cold, according to what we were told on Twitter.
Well, I don't understand. Why can't she just go by Ann?
She's got a very complicated history on this show, Anita. I don't know if we have enough time remaining on this show to explain it to you. I will have an entire discussion with you when we get off the air. But okay. But Ann is known for her critique of the team. She has brought a lot of interesting intellectual ideas to the table over the last few weeks. John Schmelk and I have been very entertained by her thoughts, such as Ryan Leaf being a better quarterback than Eli Manning, and Kevin Gilbride is responsible for the demise of Ryan Leaf, and he will be responsible for the demise of Eli Manning. I believe that was her latest dissertation, which may be posted up on a blog coming to you soon.
Okay.
With that being said, let's wrap continue. Up this show, and let's go to our very good friend who doesn't need to use an alias, Len in Columbia, Maryland. Len, what's happening?
Hey, guys. Hey, listen, I tuned in. I was in a pretty good mood. First of all, it's game day. Here we go. Let's go, Giants. Let's win this game. I'm actually feeling pretty good about this. Second, I just left Grandparents' Day at my grandchild's
very nice.
School. I had a great time. Figured I'd catch the last 10 or 15 minutes of the show, and I get Apology Boy on the line. Listen, here's a rule of thumb. Don't ever cheat on your business partners. Don't cheat on any partner. Don't cheat on your business partners. You're going to get caught, and you're going to have to pay for it. Mr. Snyder and Mr. Jones owe their business partners a big, big apology, and they're still going to have to pay for it. Let's go, Giants. Let's win this game tonight. We'll talk again. Thank you.
All right, Len. Thanks so much. I'm sure we'll be hearing from you mañana in terms of our recap of the Bears contest. And right now, the focus should mainly be on the Chicago Bears. And I know that we've spent a great deal of this programming talking about what happens if they lose another three games, what happens with the draft next season, they should trade this guy, they should trade that guy. We're going to have plenty of time to speculate all we want. But the focus right now is the quick turnaround and the task at hand. And the task at hand is they need to solve a Chicago Bears defense that has its fair share of issues in stopping the run and stopping the pass because they've lost a couple of key players. This linebacker core does not have Brian Urlacher anymore. They've infused some youth, but they did bring in DJ Williams, who was a former Denver Bronco that has a great deal of experience. And the secondary is banged up in terms of Charles Tillman, but these guys just know how to get their hands on the football. When you look at the offense for Chicago, they've been plagued by some turnovers. That's why they're on a two-game skid. But this is a dynamic receiving core, Anita. This is not just the Jay Cutler, Brandon Marshall show of years past. In years past, you could triple team Brandon Marshall, and I would say, who is going to catch the football for Chicago? But there's been a maturity factor going around Chicago. You have Alshon Jeffrey coming off a 10-catch, over 200-yard performance. You have Earl Bennett gaining the confidence in his game and reclaiming what he had in terms of being on the same page with Jay Cutler when they played together at Vanderbilt, and you have Martellus Bennett. There's a lot of weapons. They'll spread you out wide. This Giants defense has an opportunity to make a statement, but when you look at the injuries, it's going to be very, very difficult to pull off.
Yeah, I'm anticipating Prince to have that matchup with Brandon Marshall, which, by the way, Paul and I discussed this yesterday. Brandon Marshall is going to be wearing green cleats tonight. In socks, and the reason for that is, as we know, it's Breast Cancer Awareness Month, so everybody's wearing pink. Brandon Marshall has dealt with a personality disorder that was diagnosed in 2011, and so him wearing green is to give recognition to that foundation to help with personality disorders. He knows he's going to be fined today, later on this evening, and he's fine with that, no pun intended. So just if you do see him wearing green, that's why. I do see Prince with that matchup. McBride is going to have to go up against Alshon Jeffrey, and he's going to need some help because Alshon Jeffrey is really a spectacular wide receiver. We've just seen him put up those numbers the past 2 weeks. I think he's really coming into his own. I actually own him in about, I want to say, four of my leagues. So I'm very well aware of what he's been able to do and how he's been able to contribute to the Bears' offense this season. And I'm really concerned. I think Alshon Jeffrey might have a really good game tonight. As you said, Martellus Bennett, somebody that you have to be concerned about. Martellus Bennett, a big part of this offense last year, so you know I'm sure he helped the Bears' defense with their game plan, knowing specifically how this offense works, hoping that Kevin Gilbride and Eli Manning may have changed it up a little bit going into this game because what they've been doing has not been working. And we talked about it earlier. My biggest concern going in is Matt Forte. I think the Giants really need to stop Matt Forte, and he's more of a threat in the passing game with the swing routes and the quick flat and out routes out of the backfield than anything else. So I think he'll probably have a hard time running up the middle because the Giants actually have improved that part of their defense. But I've got some big concerns about Matt Forte. So I think the Bears are going to be able to put points on the board. I think the Giants are going to need to put points on the board to stay up with the Bears.
This is the third straight week that the Giants are going up against a versatile running back. As you mentioned, they did a nice job containing Jamaal Charles and LeSean McCoy on the ground. However, both of those running backs did have success as receivers, and that's why I agree that the one fear could be if Matt Forte gets open in the flat, he could do a lot of damage. To me, the one key of this contest is ball security. As long as they protect the football today, you're not going to give the Bears defense an opportunity to click. When the Bears have gone in three or more turnovers, 15-1. Does that not sum up their season? They rely on turnovers. When they don't get turnovers, they're not the same type of defense. So hold on to that football today, and I think the Giants are going to be in the thick of this game. If they don't, it's going to be a very long evening. Pre-game on the Giants Radio Network gets underway at 6:55 p.m. You can hear that on WFAN 660 AM, 101.9 FM, as well as right here on Giants.com. I'll be back tomorrow morning to take your phone calls to recap this Bears contest. We will get underway with Big Blue Kickoff Live at 9:30 in the morning. And next week, we'll go to our normal, usual schedule as we get you set for the Minnesota Vikings, which will be the following Monday. So the Giants are going to have plenty of days off after this quick turnaround game tonight.
Are you back on with John tomorrow morning?
No, I'm solo because John is staying out in Chicago. He's taking advantage of this field trip.
Okay.
Correct. We will maybe hear from John. John did mention he may have an opportunity to call in. It depends on his schedule.
Okay.
I don't want to make any promises to the Giants faithful because clearly we're making a lot of apologies this morning. I don't want to have to apologize for another unfulfilled promise. So I'm going to hold back on that.
Right.
I will not tease that.
Well, good luck tonight for Big Blue. Hopefully, tomorrow morning, they will be 1-5.
It would be nice.
Yeah.
Give them an opportunity to build off of something.
And do I sound optimistic? I really want to be. I want to be optimistic. I want to be that Big Blue cheerleader. I am going to be tonight. I just don't feel good about this game.
It's hard based on the fact that the Giants have just been very inconsistent. But like I said, they protect the football. This game could very well play into their hands. They don't. That could very well be the X factor. For Anita Marks, I'm Lance Meadow. Thanks to all the callers and the listeners. We'll be back tomorrow morning. Enjoy the game. Have a good one.